Leading off our program today, Bill Resnick interviews Paul Street. Paul Street is an independent radical democratic policy researcher, a prolific journalist and historian. He's the author of several books, including his latest, They Rule, The 1% Versus Democracy. Street has written a piece that was published in Counterpunch last week, The Meaning / Significance of the Athletes' Revolt and the Space It Opens for Reaching So Many Who Are Alienated and Withdrawn from Politics. The article will be the focal point of their discussion today. Bill?
Paul Street, welcome to KABU.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Paul, let me add a little bit to the introduction. Paul writes regularly for many journals, including Counterpunch and Black Agenda Report. From the year 2000 to 2005, he was research director at the Chicago Urban League, where he published a number of studies, The Vicious Circle, Race, Prison, Jobs, and Community in Chicago, Illinois, and the Nation, as well as Still Separate, Unequal, Race, Place, Policy, and the State of Black Chicago. Paul Street, the sports industry wants to portray sports as non-political. Oh, it's family-friendly, good, clean fun for players, all participants and fans. It's full of life lessons about leadership, teamwork, love of the game, and, of course, love of country that unites us. So in their language and their iconography, with all our diversity in this country, we can play and cheer the teams and the men and now even some women that we love, especially our hometown school teams, and then God Bless America, which is one of the themes of the Super Bowl and the flyovers by the Air Force. Paul, a lot of players don't accept this picture or their roles in advancing this myth of sports. So some began to speak out. Donald Trump, bless his evil heart, attacked them. The players responded. It's a big national controversy. Tell us about Colin Kaepernick and the great controversy now happening.
Well, you know, sports, it has no politics, and yet years ago I was visiting my son in Nashville, and I was at a hockey game there, and I had just sat down, and this wasn't even at the anthem at the beginning, and all of a sudden they trotted a veteran out. This was in the middle of the second period or something like that during a break. And I just noticed everyone in a knee-jerk kind of way had risen right up, and they were staring at me. I didn't even know what was going on. I was sitting there eating my nachos, waiting for play to resume. And people were staring at me because a veteran was out there, and they were paying homage to the American military state. And apparently I wasn't quick enough to my feet, you know, in these rituals of nationalism and patriotism and militarism. Now, it's just that I don't remember this when I was a kid, but as I got older, I noticed that they're constantly trotting out of the military onto ball fields, on football gridirons, onto baseball diamonds, onto hockey ice rinks. So they're being very political about it. They're being very political when they fly F-16 fighter jets over the 50-yard line before games start, when they make everyone pay homage before. It seems like every NHL game now, you've got to have people in military uniform trotted out there. Now, you know, in football, the issue that Kaepernick raised is something that actually probably a lot of NFL football players know about. I don't know how many Americans know that 70%, I mean 70%, nearly three-fourths of the NFL rosters now are African-Americans. And I would bet you that close to every one of those NFL players could tell you a story about an unpleasant incident with a police officer in their biographies, in their earlier lives, in their current lives. There was a guy in Las Vegas, and a current NFL football player, that had a terrible incident with the Las Vegas police recently. And so they know about this. They know that Kaepernick is really onto something here, that there is this endemic problem of a police state that just shoots young black men down, beats young black men up. It doesn't just shoot them, it strangles them. Eric Garner was strangled to death. The fellow in Baltimore, Freddie Gray, was killed with a rough ride with handcuffs behind his back, being driven around in a police van in Baltimore. And it's all kinds of ways that they kill people. Usually they shoot them, you know, and it's endemic. And there's one of these every 28 hours, and usually the cops who shoot them get exonerated. And that's what Kaepernick was taking a knee about, this repeated killing of young black men and then the exoneration of their killers. It's not very complicated. And I think a lot of the black athletes in the NFL, which is a sport where whites want, the 90% plus white crowds in NFL football stadiums, just want these people to keep their mouths shut, these black athletes, and to continue to destroy each other's brains with high-speed, head-on Roman Colosseum style collisions for their entertainment. Entertain us. Be happy that you have great big salaries. So NFL football players don't last much more than 3 or 4 years. But take your money and shut up and entertain us. And here's this courageous act by Colin Kaepernick saying, no, I will not pay homage to the symbol of this nation that shoots black young men down. Good for him.
Yeah, Trump ignited, though, the bonfire, the simmering resentment, the anger in not just black communities, but in amongst the whole sort of liberal, mushy liberal set about police impunity and what to do about it. But Trump, in fact, ignited the bonfire, and then the players had to respond. And they did in various ways. I think we should talk about that, but let's give us a sense of what Trump did in his craziness.
Well, no, so okay. Now, Trump goes down to Alabama the Friday before the weekend that Hurricane Maria is going to devastate Puerto Rico. And he's giving a political speech on behalf of his chosen candidate in the Republican primary down there, but he's really speaking to his red meat base. I mean, these are the whites of Alabama and Mississippi in the South are really the core of his ultimate sort of white nationalist base. And he makes sure to get in a shot at some of the black athletes who are following Kaepernick and showing some protest at the anthem. And he said, wouldn't it be just great if one of the owners, of course all the owners are white, you know, this is also racially coded, right, would tell these sons of bitches that they're going to disrespect our nation. And how badly did Trump really want to put the word black before he said sons of bitches? But he probably, even he knew he couldn't do that. He would probably get more applause in Alabama if he'd said black before he said sons of bitches. But he said, what if one of these owners, wouldn't it be great if one of these owners would tell these sons of bitches who disrespect our nation?
And our flag, right.
Yeah, get your fired for disrespecting our flag. And, of course, they cheered uproariously, and that only worsened it for him. And, of course, these players are not questioning the flag per se. They're not necessarily denouncing the nation state as a whole, but they're saying as long as this particular nation state seems to think it's okay to just shoot down young black men and exonerate them. And by the way, they recently had an exoneration of a white killer cop in St. Louis just a few weeks ago that elicited some protests outside the St. Louis Cardinals baseball, Busch Stadium in downtown St. Louis. You know, though, you just keep killing people, exonerating them, we're going to make this very modest. They're not burning a flag. They're kneeling, okay? They're taking a knee, which is still almost kind of looks like homage to me. But they're qualifying their nationalism by trying to draw attention to this issue of police state brutality. It's a very, very real issue. And, of course, Trump has sort of changed the conversation by saying that they're disrespecting the flag completely, disrespecting the troops, blah, blah, blah. And actually, that kind of works with a fair part of the white population.
Yeah. He
unfortunately,
also,
it also helped distract attention from Puerto Rico, which is this incredible crime of his slow response to Puerto Rico. And people have been talking about this, and it's helped distract people from his Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, and he also this is the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO. I'm Bill Resnick talking to Paul Street, who writes a lot of interesting stuff. Look it up in the internet and books and articles. Paul, it also it seems to me it distracts, and there's a lot of critique in the black press about it. It distracts attention from the critique of police impunity and murder. And all sorts of actually demands for obedience for young black kids is sort of the policing and very aggressive policing demanding obedience in black communities, or you'll get beat up and maybe arrested and held and on high bail, ruining your life if you don't show obedience. It seems to me, though, it distracts from that, and it became sort of a freedom of speech issue, which is important. I'm not saying it's not important. I think it is, especially nowadays in Trumpism. But the freedom of speech issue is only one of them, and a lot of the players, that was there, and a lot of the white players, and of course, the league owners, their first response was, well, we had players are human beings, are also have private lives, and they can speak out, and they have the right to do it under our Constitution, and we honor that right. And that was the extent of, it seems to me, the support that at the beginning was shown, and that completely distracted from the police impunity question.
Well, you know, it's not just police impunity. I saw a fellow on CNN, I'm forgetting his name right now, an African-American athlete on the Philadelphia Eagles, and I believe he was a safety, and he was an incredibly eloquent spokesperson.
This guy, Malcolm Jenkins.
Not just impunity, but he talked about the whole nature of the criminal justice system right now. And he talked about racially disparate mass incarceration, the ridiculous lifelong crippling mark of a felony record, which plagues 1 in 3 black males in this country right now. And he talked about the hundreds of thousands of mostly black Americans that rot in jail every night for the simple crime of not being able to afford bail. Right?
Right.
The whole bail lockup. So there's more to it than just a police impunity. There's a broader sense of
the criminal justice system.
The whole criminal justice system, and in fact, the society. And, I'm not sure entirely what you were saying that the owners were saying, but if anyone is saying, well, you have free speech rights and you can do whatever you want off the job in your real lives, but that on football Sunday, you know, this is a non-political space.
They're trying to do that now, right?
Yeah, that's nonsense, because that space is loaded up with patriotic messaging. I mean, there were reports that came out about the relationship between the Pentagon and the NFL and the war promotion and the patriotism promotion and the militarism promotion. It is just routine at sporting events now. So it's a very political space, you know? And, I don't know. There's a kind of authoritarian politics about mass spectator sports themselves in the first place. And football has a lot of issues that really ought to be thought of in terms of political. It turns out these guys are wrecking their bodies and wrecking their brains in this extremely savage sport. And not just in spectacular hits, but on every single hike, these guys are crushing each other's brains, and it's showing up with CTE. On all kinds of other horrible things. Football is a very political issue, and we have real questions of whether we want to keep playing football in this country, or is it just too dangerous?
I read that the black speaker wrote with a number of other players, including Michael Bennett and several others, who have been very outspoken about the criminal justice system. They wrote a platform, and I read the platform, 10 pages or so. It's extremely respectful and patient. It doesn't even mention racism about the criminal justice system. It talks about the policies that disadvantage blacks. In some ways, they bent over backwards, begging the owners and others to please intervene and stop the killing and also stop the destruction of so many lives by the system that labels them criminals and makes it impossible to get a job for very large numbers of people.
A felony record is sort of the last remaining openly permissible the form of complete discrimination.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell are people supposed to do in a capitalist society when they can't get a job? Because on the job application, you have to mark whether you have a felony record again, and you wonder why people go back to crime and just permanently recycle through the criminal justice system. So if they were raising that issue, that's an important
issue. No, it's great. There's no question that that was important.
Yeah.
What was markedly, though, about that document, they didn't talk really about the need for opportunity for people for decent living wage work amongst the bottom 30%, which is what the system is protecting, the sort of system of reserve army of labor. It's sort of a slave system with a different...
Well, if you don't confront the underlying socioeconomic status and the intimately related problem of segregation and just the concentration. I mean, there are 10 neighborhoods in Chicago where half of the kids are growing up in less than half of the notoriously inadequate federal poverty level, and every one of them is 90% or more black. And you have similar situations in the inner cities of every major in the country. And that's sort of the underlying socioeconomic and simultaneously racial political economy on which this criminal justice system is built. And I agree with you. The other area that I find a lot of the players protest too tame is on the question of foreign policy. And so what Kaepernick and others will get to criticism again and again and again, and I think it's an absurd, but they get the criticism that you are disrespecting our troops and you're disrespecting our military, which, you know, and then there's always the additional statement, which is defending our freedom around the world, you know, which is just complete and total nonsense. But the athletes, either they don't want to, or they have politically calculated that they can't respond in a forthright fashion to that criticism. So they make this point of saying, we don't mean any disrespect to our troops, we don't mean any disrespect to the military. Well, gee whiz, you know, I'm a leftist, why not, okay? This military eats up 55% of federal discretionary spending. It maintains more than 900 military bases spread across more than 900 countries. We are never going to have progress on the social issues that are tearing this country apart, the mass poverty, the mass lack of health care, the people who can't afford health care, you know, the ghettoization and the barrios and the reservations, the mass poverty in this deeply unequal country. You know, as long as the Pentagon system is sucking up the vast lion's share of federal discretionary spending, like this Dr. King used to talk about, the VAT, the big destructive suction tube of the war state. And they're not defending anybody's freedom. I mean, somebody explain to me how blowing up Libya or destroying the state of Iraq, invading Iraq, or the stationing of troops across Eastern Europe is defending my freedom. It's doing no such thing.
Yeah, it would be great.
Advancing empire. And they don't want to say that. They don't want to talk about that. I get it that they don't, right? They don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to get in more trouble than they already are. But if we really want to be honest about it, we can't just give way, give ground on,
right,
on military.
Paul, you know, one final thing, and I think I'm just going to steal the last word because we're out of time, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did an interesting piece. It was hardly radical, but he's really a thoughtful guy in many ways, but his piece was, this is a great opportunity for talking to people using, I mean, with sports as the base, but really talking about how this country operates and the responsibility to, in fact, protest and around what. And he understands the political economy at the roots of things. Anyway, we can talk about that again or other people. Anyway, Paul Street, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Super, you bet. We'll talk later.
Right, so
bye-bye.
Long.